My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
BT itself back on the Fan. We have Jermaine Illuminor coming up in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. We'll go inside the Giants locker room and see how the big guy feels. Offensive line hasn't been a problem. It's almost been everything else for the Giants. Did you watch Monday Night Football last night, BT? Eagles, Falcons?
Yeah, I watched a lot of the Mets, though. I was a little bit more into the baseball.
Right.
Final few innings. But, of course, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah.
Not every snap.
I was into it. I mean, look, first of all, I thought the Falcons wouldn't. That is a gratifying. I miss that as a fan because I'm not as into it as much anymore, even though I grew up a Falcon fan. But it's gratifying when everybody is picking against the team that you root for and just totally disrespecting them, and foolishly so in this particular case. And then your team comes out victors. I picked them on Friday. I just loved Atlanta's defense. I think their defense is legit. And I also think Sirianni is a doofus, and you saw that on full display. The Eagles are talented, and that tush-push play is, you can't stop it. Jalen Hurts looks at times unstoppable, but the Eagles are just poorly coached. Sirianni is as dumb as it gets. And did you see, obviously, the play down the stretch? Well, all you had to do was run the football. They couldn't stop the run down the end. Run the football, give a little tush-push, and take a knee, and yeah, you're going to win the game. And yet Sirianni, the genius, decides to throw a ball in the flat to Saquon, who drops it. And then Atlanta marches right down the field and gets the win. What a gratifying win. Plus, I don't think I've ever hated a team as much as I do the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, you can't stand Sirianni.
I hate him. I hate his face. I hate the team. You know why?
Face.
You know why, honestly?
He's
arrogant.
Why?
He's arrogant. He's an arrogant, disrespectful, undisciplined, poor coach. Mm. I know he took a team to a Super Bowl. I don't care. I think that was more the talent.
We should
He's
all
gonna
have
get
such
fired.
Undisciplined coaches
yeah.
here.
He's going
to
get fired.
To a Super
I mean, his team quit on him last year. He just does stupid things.
I hear you. I just care. I'm messing around. I know you don't like him.
But that's why, I think, because he's arrogant.
Well, understood. He does project that. Anytime he talks, I get that as well. Having said that, if Saquon could catch a ball that basically everybody in the stands could catch after seven beers, he wins the game.
But why call that play?
Well, now,
you're giving the team, even Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Eli Manning, like, what are you doing?
No,
you can't just run the ball. Run the clock out. They have no timeouts left.
I know.
The clock out and then go for it on fourth down if you don't want to kick a field
goal. Well, the thought is that they're going to sell out on the run. They know that you're going to run, or they strongly think that you're going to run. And then if you do something to counter to that and somebody's wide open at this level, hell, at the high school level, catch the football.
That's part of it. Part of the whole idea is not to take the risk throwing the football, because even though it's the NFL, somebody could drop it. That's why you don't risk throwing
it. You can't coach that way.
Yeah.
Not that you're wrong. I mean,
well, but
especially since he did drop it.
Yeah, you have to coach that.
Drop passes before.
Well, that's a whole nother. But that you have to coach that way because the whole idea is not to take that chance. You say we run the football here. Well, why, coach? We'll have an easy play, an easy pitch and catch. Yeah, but if it goes wrong. No, but it's not going to go wrong. No, but it might go wrong. And it did. Now, maybe Saquon, even though he has the dropsies, if Saquon, and maybe he'll catch that ball 95 out of 100 times.
More than that.
Okay, well, whatever. Doesn't matter. He dropped it there.
What if
and
he
they
fumbled on a
game.
What if he fumbles on a run?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a different story. But it's the same premise.
No, it's not a different story.
It's more likely he's going to drop the pass. More likely bad things can happen when you drop back to pass than it is to run the football.
I'm going to grant you that. But listen, the bottom line is, you know, you can't coach scared. He had a plan that was set up. He dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I shut the game off. I wanted to watch the Mets.
You didn't see the end of that?
No, I saw it on this morning.
Okay, yeah.
No. I shut it off because I was just, I watched the Mets. I watched the final three innings of the Mets. And I watched a little bit of the postgame show on SNY. I couldn't listen to Kelce anymore. I can't. Would you get rid of, you think that Sirianni's a doofus. I can't take the Kelces anymore. Get lost and take Taylor Swift with you. Disappear, dude. They got this goofball pounding beers in the parking lot and dancing on stage like a dopey breakdancer from 1980s wearing his velour jacket. See, here's the problem. Like, if I'm, and I said this to you when I came in, I'm just envisioning myself as, let's say the Jets are playing that game,
yeah.
Right? Or the Giants, and I'm just locked in, but the Jets from my fan perspective, right? And I'm locked into this game. They treated a national broadcast, a high-profile national broadcast, like it was a regional game. It's like the Mets bringing in David Wright or Doc and Endeavor when there's some ceremony, or the Yankees bringing in, you know, Joe Torre when he's in town,
yeah.
Or Derek Jeter for a minute, or whatever the heck it might be. This is not the Eagles, but on the radio. I mean, it wasn't for one series. It was an entire quarter, and then they go to the fourth quarter, and he's back. And I went, click. I put on politics after I was done with the Mets. I didn't want to hear him anymore. Enough of the Kelces. What now? Let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah.
He was a great player. Brilliant. Okay. He had the crazy speech when they won. Fantastic. What the hell is so interesting about Jason Kelce if Travis Kelce's not his brother, and his brother's not dating Taylor Swift? Why?
He did have some good dance moves, though.
He looked like an idiot. Good dance moves.
I will tell you that it was the first time that I can remember watching a national broadcast, or really a football broadcast, because they're all national. There is no regional football games outside of preseason.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I felt like I was watching a home team broadcast.
Well, that's what I was. I was thinking of you too.
Yeah.
Like,
it was annoying.
I know you're not all in like you used to be,
but you still
are a Falcons fan. Yeah. And all we heard about the Eagles.
It came back.
Get him on a pregame show.
Yeah.
Pop him on the stage, you know, chop it up with his buddies postgame. I'm not saying he doesn't have a good personality. He does, but he's Travis Kelce.
I'll tell you what
You're not bringing in Peyton Manning to sit in the booth, or a great quarterback, or Jerry Rice. Come on, he's an offensive lineman.
Well, he's an offensive lineman who's the brother of somebody
that's what
who's
I'm
dating.
Saying.
Yeah, right. I know, they do it because of Taylor Swift. I actually flipped over to the Manning cast, and
I usually do that
Matt
too. But I didn't do it last night.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even watch the Monday night. Like, I wouldn't be that long. I'd probably be in bed, honestly, at that point if it weren't Atlanta.
How much of the Mets did you watch?
I watched the whole thing.
Okay, good.
I had that on the iPad in front of me.
All right.
And that was a snooze fest as well. I mean, the Mets barely, we'll get to them a little bit later on, barely able to beat the Nationals. I mean, at least they got the win, but still. But I flipped over to the Manning cast, and at least you got an unbiased.
Yes.
Manning's just rooting, they're rooting for offense. But with Kelce, they're like, everybody knows he's openly rooting for the Eagles.
I know.
No Falcon fan wants to see that bull crap. Not to mention that the refs were giving the Eagles every freaking call all night long. Anyway, that was as gratifying win for Giant fans to see Barkley finally have his comeuppance with Philadelphia in week two. Here, after all the touchdowns in Brazil and all the talk, Barkley dropping a key pass that cost him the game and having the Eagles lose one like that. Oh, that was as gratifying a win as you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Or a loss for the Eagles.
Eagles. But it's also, I think the gratification is going to be fleeting and fairly temporary, because I think that Saquon's going to have, you know, 15 total touchdowns this year, and the Eagles would be playing in the playoffs. So,
yeah,
fantastic. Giant fans felt great. You
gotta keep healthy.
Look at Saquon. Saquon, you dropped the ball that we could all catch. Great. Now you get on with the rest of the season. Giants aren't good, and the Eagles are.
Yeah,
so what do they really get out of it?
Bottom line with the, well, at least one night of gratification. And we'll see what happens head-to-head. Giants did beat him a year ago. You never know. With Sirianni, that doofus, maybe the team does quit on him. The thing is, the offensive line is Philadelphia's line is incredible. That's the thing. I mean, their play in the trenches is so good. But at least for a night, BT, it was gratifying to see Sirianni and the doofus Sirianni and the Eagles go down with a loss. All right, time now for our weekly spot here with Jermaine Illuminor. This giant call is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jermaine, it was a rough loss, to say the least, for you guys. You outplayed him. You scored 3 touchdowns, didn't allow a touchdown, but yet you lose. Your overall feelings from that one in week 2 in Washington?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, obviously it sucks losing, but on offense especially, I feel like we're starting to find our identity, especially as an offensive line that hasn't played together before. You know, like I said last week, AT hasn't played next to Runyon. Runyon hasn't played next to Schmidt. Schmidt hasn't played next to GV. And obviously, me and GV have chemistry together, but we're in a new system. But last week, I feel like we took a huge step forward as offense. And I think that we needed a game like that. Obviously, the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but it's only week 2. So, you know, we still have 15 more weeks to go. We have a big game in Cleveland this weekend. And, you know, the offense is going in the right direction, and that's what you can ask for.
Do you think you guys lost because you didn't have a kicker?
I think a number of things. We lost because of a number of things. Obviously, it sucks not having a kicker, but, you know, it's the NFL. People go down all the time, and you have to be able to adjust on the fly. And, you know, we were just unlucky.
Jermaine, it's good to have you back on the show, and I want to follow the Gano stuff. Now, Sal and I did a ton of the show yesterday on the decision to not have another kicker. That's not your job. So I'm curious, though, can you, like, take us inside the playbook? Because there's no way for us to really know. With the absence of a kicker, how limited were you guys in terms of what you could actually call and try to do?
Yeah, well, obviously, when you get into the red zone, your playbook is limited because you have 20 yards, basically, to, you know, get a touchdown. And so there's only a certain amount of plays you can call. And then when you're going for a 2-point conversion, that space becomes even smaller. And so teams tend to only rush 4 and drop 7. And in that case, you know, you only have a limited amount of receivers running routes. And a lot of the times they're getting double covered. And you have to try and create space in a limited amount of space. And, you know, we can work on that this week just in case, you know, that ever comes up again. And execute better in those situations.
Gotcha. So we're talking to our buddy Jermaine Illuminor. He's going to be with us all year, every Tuesday, BT and Sal on the Fan. Now, listen, you know, maybe when you were 7, 8 years old, whatever, and then a little bit later in Belleville, but probably not. You know, participation trophies, that's become a thing in today's society. I can't stand it, and I'm being facetious. I know you can't either, but the difference between the morale in the locker room, the Commanders game where you guys just played, the first game against Minnesota where you guys just played real poor, and the Commanders game where, as you just said and we've all said, there were really good things that came out of it. Was it a different feel in the locker room, or is it just, hey, we lost?
No, it definitely was a different feel. You tell that guys aren't accepting this. You know, I wasn't here in prior years, so I don't know how the locker room was. But to me, I've been in some locker rooms where after a loss, you know, everyone's head is down. You're just like, well, damn, you know, we don't know what we can do now. You know, we've lost 2 in a row. What are we going to do? You know, everyone's head spinning. Some people are even thinking about the offseason. And this locker room, you know, everyone's pissed off. Everyone just because we work so damn hard, you don't want to go out there and lose. But after the game, it's kind of, everyone's even more hungry now. Like, everyone really wants to get this thing. It's not even getting it turned around because it's only week 2. Everyone wants to get this thing going. And I think we're seeing that in practice this week, just how hungry everyone is. And sometimes teams need something like this to happen to really kick them in the butt, put them in the right direction, and really show them what things they need to work on during the week in order to become that team that we know we can be. And on offense, like I said, we needed a game like this to show us what we're capable of. Not only that, but also show us what type of team we're going to be and what type of offense we're going to be. You know, obviously, everyone's talking about DJ, but DJ went out there and, in my opinion, played lights out, did his thing,
yep.
Was comfortable back there. and showed progress. And, you know, I love playing for a guy like DJ because he's not afraid to take a hit. And obviously, I don't want my guy taking hits like that. But seeing him put everything on the line, running for those first downs, running around the pocket, and obviously in prior years, I've been able to play with a mobile quarterback like him who just goes out there and puts everything on the line. And he's been through more than anyone on the team. So, you know, I, like I said, last week, I love playing with him. I'm excited to go for 15 guaranteed weeks and hopefully more than that. And I think that this will only help us become an even better team.
Jermaine, was there a feeling inside the locker room that the coach let you down by making that decision with Gano before the game?
No, not at all. We trust Dave. And, you know, I've said it before, I say it again, Dave is one of the best coaches I've had in the NFL, if not the best, just because of the type of person he is and the type of coach he is and how much he trusts he puts in us. And, you know, you can't control what's going to happen on game day. Coaches can't predict the future. They got to go with what they have. And he obviously trusts us enough where if something did happen to Graham, which it did, then we could go out there and adjust on the fly. And if he wants to tape, I feel like we did a great job of that. And we just came up showing the two-point conversions. But no, we trust Dave more than anything. And, you know, he's putting us in the right places that we need to be on offense and doing everything we need to do in order to be a great team.
What was his message to you guys after the game? It's the first time in NFL history that a team scored three touchdowns, didn't allow a touchdown, that lost in regulation. What was the message from Dable after the game?
Yeah, basically the same thing we know. You know, we're a good team that's 0-2 right now, and we can be a great team if we just put some of the little things together. And I'm sure every other 0-2 team is saying that right now. Shoot, even some 1-1 teams are saying that. Even some 2-0 teams are saying that. You know, it's 2 weeks. I'm sure people are like predicting the Super Bowls right now and, you know, who's going to make the playoffs. But you can't really do that after 2 weeks. Like, give it 10, 11 weeks, and yeah, you can go ahead and do that. But mm-hmm. We know how good we know how good we are. And, you know, we're excited to play against a great defense in Cleveland and a great team in Cleveland. So, you know, we're starting to put it together, and it's not too late for sure. And like I said, we're going to get this thing going.
Yeah, and listen, Jermaine, you mentioned there's a bunch of 0-2 teams out there, although there's more in the AFC. So, you know, long down the road, bigger picture, macro view, you know, you guys want to make sure you secure a win here. 0-2 is not a death sentence. 0-3, you start to walk that plank a little bit here. I mean, are we already at must win week three?
I feel like every single game in the NFL season is a must-win. I don't think anyone thinks that there's room for error in the NFL. And, you know, if you're me being who I am and being around this game for as long as I've been around the NFL, I've been around teams where every single team's a must-win. You don't go into a game like, oh, you know, we have, you know, some room to lose a game here or there. No, every single game is a must-win just because from a mentality standpoint, and just a mental standpoint, you want to go out there and win to, you know, to reap the rewards of all the effort and hard work you've put in. Like, we've been working, since April? And even before that, behind the scenes, like, we're still working. So, in my opinion and in my mind, every single game I go into is a must win. And I believe that everyone on the team thinks that, too.
Yeah, listen, by the way, I get that. I respect that. But let me just present it a little differently here. And you guys know this. If you or anybody else on that team fixates too much on the result, you're going to trip up during the process. For you, that's our job. We can tell if the Giants are 0-3, this might happen. Yeah. If they're 1-2, that's what we do here in sports radio. You guys have to wake up, do your job, and get immersed in the process, which you are. And I know that you go into every game wanting to win. Of course, you guys are the ultimate competitors, but there is a difference between 0-3 and 1-2. So, I guess.
Shoot, you ain't got to tell me. I know that for sure.
Yeah. You know, I got you. But like 0-3, it's going to get dark quick, man. The schedule toughens up, and I would respectfully push back. If you're 0-3, I'm not saying that you will be, but if you are, I think the complexion of the season totally changes.
Yeah,
my opinion.
I mean, shoot. No one wants to start 0-3.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn depressing. That's why, you know, we have to go into Cleveland and execute and play complimentary football and put ourselves in the position to win that game.
Has any of the outside noise, Jermaine, we're talking with BT and Tal on the Fan, talking with Jermaine Illuminor, has any of the outside noise started to creep into the locker room a little bit? I know it's early, but you know, whether it's the fans booing, which you guys had to answer questions about that week one, now all the stuff week two, and people, reporters questioning Dable's job, has any of that outside negativity started to infiltrate the locker room at all?
I would say no, and I've been in locker rooms where the media starts to impact the locker room. You know, the New York media market, obviously it's my first time being in this, but I've seen just how big it is and how impactful it can be. And so I think that this locker room does a really good job of handling that. You know, like I said, DJ being in the limelight in New York, you know, obviously everyone knows who Daniel Jones is. He does a great job of handling it. And I think he's a great example for the younger guys on how to handle the pressure that comes with playing in New York from the media side and just all the eye on you. So I think the locker room's doing a phenomenal job of, you know, boxing out the noise and just keeping focused on what we need to do as a team in order to put ourselves in the best position to win.
Yeah, you guys seem to have some nice team character. I would say final thing for me, Jermaine. So I asked you this earlier as the season was starting, and still early, but I asked you, uh-huh. I guess, a week or two ago. Like, what do you think, when it's all said and done, is the ultimate identity of this Giants team? Is it offense? Is it defense? Whatever it might be. Yeah, here you are 2 weeks in. What do you think the identity will be of the New York Giants 2024?
I would say that I want our identity to be a team that controls the line of scrimmage, and every team wants to be like that, because if you dominate the line of scrimmage, you can do whatever you want. So I want, me personally, I want this team to be, you know, our offensive line can go into a game and control the line of scrimmage, and, you know, whatever D-line you throw against them, we're going to go out there and go to war and make sure that we control the line of scrimmage, and then vice versa on the defensive line. Whatever offensive line they go against, our defensive line is going to come up big and dominate that line of scrimmage and really help the guys behind them. So, you know, me being an offensive lineman, obviously that's my vision and what I want. And we have the skilled players to match any skilled players in the league. I truly believe that. Our defense, obviously we have some crazy talented players on that team too, on that side of the ball too. And I believe in DJ more than anything. Like I said, I love that kid. I want to go out there and ball for him every single week, which I'm going to do and which we're going to do as an offensive line. But I want the identity to be the O-line, D-line is going to go into the game and really help the team control the game, control the line of scrimmage, and help this team win.
And you guys have done that. According to Pro Football Focus, Giants have the sixth best pass-protecting offensive line in the NFL over the first 2 weeks, so you got to keep that up, keep Daniel Jones clean. And look, that wasn't the issue. I mean, you saw a significant improvement in your guys' offense from week one to week two. The other thing, and I'll leave you with this, Jermaine, you guys got neighbors involved. And that was something week one where it didn't happen. Was there a more conscious effort to get the damn ball into number one's hands?
I think that we, as an offense, know where we need to get the ball. And obviously, the O-line did a better job this week of keeping Daniel clean. But the biggest thing is making sure that he stays confident and comfortable in the pocket. You know, like I said last week, he's coming off an ACL tear. He's obviously used to getting hit more than often. So us, the offensive line, we need to make sure that we keep growing his confidence. And it'll be huge this week going against the Cleveland D-line, you know, Myles Garrett, Darius Smith, Dalvin Thomason. You know, that's one of the best defenses in the NFL. And so for us, as offensive line, we're taking this game more. I mean, we take every single game serious, but we see the challenge with this game and the front that they can bring. And so for us, it's another step in the progression of making sure DJ stays calm and comfortable and confident in the pocket. And I think that you saw that in Washington where we did what we needed to do and handled our business, and that allowed DJ to be confident and, you know, just be him, the same him I've seen in training camp and OTAs. And, you know, we're going to hopefully keep progressing on that and, you know, building his trust and building his confidence back up.
You worried at all, Jermaine, about getting hit in the head by a helmet from Myles Garrett?
I mean, I've known Miles for 10 years. I played with him at A&M. That's my guy. So I'm really excited to get to go against him. You know, as a tackle in this league, you know, it's not every day you get to go up against the reigning defensive player of the year and one of the best DNs in the NFL and probably future Hall of Famer. So I'm really excited to go against him and, you know, kind of bring up some of the plus battles we had in college. So I can't wait for that.
All right, Jermaine, great job with the offensive line play. You guys have been much better. Keep it going. Good luck in Cleveland. Hopefully next week we talk to you after your first dub.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
There you go.
Jermaine Illuminor, he is terrific.
I got to tell you, he is. He is grounded. He is humble. He is clearly intelligent. And the thing that jumps out, it's only a couple of interviews here, but the thing that jumps out to me from him, and we've had a lot of, you know, offensive linemen over the years on the show, Like, it's not like the recycled, oh, I've got to kind of say this about my quarterback. Like, he is so effusive in his praise of Jones.
He believes in him.
Like, it's like reverence. It's like bordering on reverential. Like, that, I know a lot of people discount Danny. Ah, he's boring. Ah, he's vanilla. Ah, he's this. That. Like, those guys love that quarterback.
You got to remember, though. It's year one for him.
I understand that.
Year six for us.
He doesn't have to lay it on his thick. Like it's. No, I hear you. Believe, we've been doing it more.
Yeah,
I got you.
Believe he believes in it.
No question.
And I understand why. Jones has the traits and the characteristics. I think he's a tough SOB.
Definitely.
I think he's a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if he's. Well, I don't believe he's a good leader. Yeah, we don't need to go down there. All right. Anyway, that was brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beat Town Fair Tire. Nobody. More of your calls on the other side.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I love Dave Matthews, and not enough to like tour around the city, but I like a few songs, and I'm a big music guy.
I am not a Dave Matthews guy myself.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about an 8. I mean, maybe even a 7.5. There's many bands I love more, but I do like a few of his songs.
I'll tell you quick. I don't really know many, like that song. I know I've heard it before.
Yeah, of course.
I don't really know the albums, the artists, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember that an ex of mine used to love him and going to concerts, and it for they turned me off.
Yeah, yeah,
after
yeah.
like things
yeah.
went south, I never went with her to it. It was just her thing. She loved it. And I was like, yeah.
Really? I had an ex who was trying to get me into fish. I'm like, no, I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
That's definitely not my scene, fish.
Dave Matthews, give you credit. Guy tours all the time, though, which is great.
No, he does.
Big time shows. People love it.
Got to make that loop.
Yep, yep.
All right. So anyway, so you know I'm a big music guy, though.
Yes,
all right.
Yeah.
So, and when I'm coming in and driving home, I might like listen to a few things from our show to see where I could go. Coming in, obviously, I'm going to catch Boomer and Geo, Jerry's updates, catch up. But I like to jump into music.
Catch up on their golf game.
Yeah, exactly. As they let us know every single shot. And three putted by, they missed the green by, you know, whatever. So I bounce around and I've got like the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and, yeah, very eclectic. Mm-hmm. Yacht Rock and Ozzy and LL and Blend. I mean, I'm Studio 54. I'm all over the map. You know I love my music. And I heard a couple of interesting songs on the way in today. Little Purple Rain.
Okay.
Big Jimi Hendrix guy. Little Purple Haze. Hmm. Throw it back to a little.
Oh God, I know what you're doing. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
Throw it back to a little.
Took me two songs to name that
deep
tune.
Yeah. Purple. Bam, bam, bam. Okay. How are we an hour and 35 minutes into the show, and you're not at least flexing a little on a massive Mets win?
Nah. Yeah, I mean, because it's going to come down, as I've been saying for months, it's going to come down to what they do against Atlanta. I can't get excited about an infield single that ties the game against the Nationals. Now, what I would say is the bullpen did a good job. Reed, Garrett, Diaz, obviously Manaea. The pitching has been terrific. I don't know how they've made it this far with that starting rotation and with that bullpen. Think about it. I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
They're going to win almost 90 games.
Yeah.
With a bullpen that's been minor league the majority of the year and a starting rotation that nobody thought was going to be really good coming into the season. So you give him a ton of credit, but...
Oh, you didn't give him any credit. A ton of credit.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not giving credit to. I'm just happy that the Grimace stuff, like, it's not even a big deal.
No, it is a big deal because Grimace showed back up and the Mets won.
More people talking about it on social media.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think some people were leaning and having some fun. I saw the chair.
The Mets missed the mark. If they would have done it a year from now or in June of next year, it would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah.
They overplayed their hand thinking that they were smart and cute. And again, they miscalculated. It's tone deaf.
No,
the Mets fans don't want that nonsense. We care about playoff baseball. Well, that's what's happening.
Yeah, but
that's
if you
a bigger
beat
deal.
The Nats, you're going to be better equipped to actually.
Understood.
You know,
Braves
deal
lost,
with playoff baseball.
I mean,
by the way, Sal, you guys right now are one back to the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
Arizona lost as well. It's crazy too. And your points about the bullpen, the pitching, and what we thought would happen has not. We thought Pete would have a massive season. We thought McNeil might bounce back. We thought Nimmo would be better. You know, we thought Alvarez would have much more influence on the season. But how about this? In the last 30 days, Pete's hitting .242. You know, doing nothing, as we know.
Terrible.
In the last 15 days, Vientos is hitting .181.
Terrible.
In the last 30 days, J.D. Martinez is a .577 OPS.
Terrible.
And in the last 30 days, Nimmo, who for some reason is getting a pass. Yep. Everybody's knocking Alonso, but nobody says that Nimmo stinks this season. He's hitting .220 with a .620 OPS.
Also so terrible. It's a shock.
It's crazy how you guys are winning.
And now even without Lindor, I'll tell you this, Tyrone Taylor, as I'm watching that game last night.
They walked him, right?
He had a big double in the 8th.
No, but I'm saying the 10th. Didn't they walk him to the 10th with the ghost runner?
Big double in the 8th, though, which led to the game-tying hit by Iglesias.
Yeah, for sure. I know that.
That. Just Taylor, in general, dude's a winning player.
Yeah, he plays.
He's clutch.
I know what you mean.
He's not he's never going to be a starting, everyday player that's going to be an all-star, but he's a winning ball player that's going to help you win games. He's done that time and time again. That's a credit to Stearns for bringing him over from Milwaukee. Guys like that help you win games. Tyrone Taylor has been doing that for this Mets team. So, I look at a player like that and say that he's clutch. You look at the other guys that you just mentioned, I'm like, where are they? I mean, they desperately need something from Nimmo, Martinez. Well, at least I'll give Vientos a pass. Now, you worry about, has the league caught up to him? Is he going to figure it out? But I'll give him a pass because he's been doing it all year long. It stinks that he's cooling off now, but at least he's been their second-best player outside of Lindor, second-best offensive player, most consistent all year long. Where's Nimmo been? What is Alonso doing? J.D. Martinez, these guys can't get a big hit to save their life.
You can make the case that if Vientos, even though he's cooled off, and I'm with you, I'm going to give him a pass. Maybe now he's got to make the adjustments made to him. That's baseball. Everybody goes through that, young hitters, whatever. But without Vientos, Mets aren't a playoff team. But, with Nimmo not doing much and Pete not doing much, they're probably going to be a playoff team. Yeah. So, yeah, he deserves, whether it's pass or just a little perspective on as a young hitter, I'm going to give it to him. The other thing, too, with the ghost runner, I know it didn't work out from a Nationals perspective because that was a good at-bat by Francisco Alvarez with a bullet to right center, tag up, go to second, Marte, eventually rips one down the line, Mets win. If I'm a manager and I'm starting run with Ghost Runner, I'm going to intentionally walk somebody immediately. Now, the only, like, I'm going first and second, nobody out, and I'm going to
No
matter what.
Okay.
If I'm the visitor.
If you're the visitor, okay.
Right. If I'm the visitor and I don't score, and now it's a tie game, and I'm going to the bottom.
Yeah, first and second. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to do whatever. Now, the only, and not every manager does it. They did it last night. It didn't work out. I thought it was the right move. Keith said it as well, and I'm with him. I was thinking it before he said it because Gary asked him. The only difference is, and it's a little thing, but I would still do it. Like, if there's a man on second and you show the hands and you drop down a bunt, now, obviously, it's a force at third. Pardon me. You got to tag him at third rather than a force. If you walk somebody, it's first and second. And you talk about half a step, you could stretch. You can, if you feel the bunt and the third baseman's covering, you could stretch and get the force. So it might be a little tick where you've got, you know, like a tick of a play, bang, bang. You've got more of a chance to get the runner out with a force. I don't know. I just don't know why every team doesn't do that.
I think, to me, it just depends on who's up. But either way, an important win for the Mets. Everyone is. They got to win. They got to sweep the Nationals here. Oh, stop with the grimace stuff. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. AJ is in the Bronx. What's up, AJ?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
I love the spot with Illuminor. He's so positive. I love how he stands behind his quarterback. It's really amazing. I actually think I'm bullish on the Giants like him. I think the Giants are ahead of schedule.
What?
I actually thought that DJ would be 3-4 games before he got his feet under him, so it was good to see his performance this
past Sunday.
How are
they ahead of schedule? They haven't won yet. Ahead of schedule.
I'm talking about Jones. I really didn't think we would see anything from him because of the
ahead
surgery.
Ahead of schedule. 6 years in. I like it.
I wanted to talk about what you guys mentioned at the top of the show about the Belichick idea. I you know, thinking back in my lifetime, you know, I was born in 1980, so I'm thinking about all the Hall of Fame type coaches who had really successful careers, left the game for a period of time, and then tried to come back for like a second tour, if you will, and it literally almost never works out. I like made a mental list. You got guys like Jimmy Johnson and Joe Gibbs who tried to come back. The Skins did it twice with Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan. It was a disaster both times.
Okay.
You got guys like Mike Ditka who also tried to come back. Even Bill Parcells, he had success with the Giants and with the Jets and with the Patriots. He was out of the league for a few years, tried to come back with Dallas, and they were a middling 500 ball club.
No, that's not true. They got to the playoffs. It took Dallas with no quarterback to the postseason until he developed Romo. I wouldn't. I think Parcells is a bad example, though, AJ.
I do, too.
I was going to say, his win-loss record is far below what it was the rest of his career. And I think part of it is not just because the game passes these guys by, but they've all won. Really, even a guy like Andy Reid, I mean, he was a great coach in Philly, but he never won a Super Bowl. He still had that fire in his belly when he came back to KC and became an all-pro world-class coach because he still was hungry. None of these guys are hungry anymore when they come back. You think Belichick is going to come back to the Giants a hungry coach?
AJ, I think everything that you said made a lot of sense, and it's a really good call. I think what you just said might be the most insulting, not to me, just to him, the most insulting thing that I've ever heard about a great player or a great coach. Do you actually think that Bill Belichick, who, in my opinion, is one of those people who, without football, I don't mean to seem morbid here, but like he will die a slow, painful death if he's not... I know that I don't really mean it that seriously.
I don't mean
seriously.
To seem morbid, but yeah.
You know what?
I really don't
mean it that way, but you know what? Like, there's certain people who could walk away, go to the golf course, and go on the yacht, go fishing. Like, Jimmy Johnson's fine. Jimmy's been tanned for 20 years. Yeah, and I know Belichick likes to fish as well, but Jimmy doesn't need to coach. Bill Belichick needs to be cutting up film every day to feel fulfilled.
But
he just does.
But his point about not being hungry is...
No, it's not. I just think contradicts everything that I just said.
I just think human nature. No, I could see that, like, him wanting to coach, yes, but not being as hungry as he once was.
Why, though? I think they're connected.
I think it's human nature.
Why?
Because he's had all that success. There's just no way.
You don't think Rick Pitino wants to really still... You don't think Rick Pitino is
I don't think he's
driven
as,
to an extent to turn St. John's around?
Yeah, like, sure, driven.
Like, hell-driven, like, hell-bent on fixing this in Queens?
Yeah, I think Pitino...
I can promise you he is.
Pitino also had some other issues.
I understand that. But Rick was out of the game. He had to go to Greece. He was coaching Iona.
He's trying to prove himself in a different aspect.
Yeah.
Look, maybe some guys have it. I'm not getting that sense that Belichick has that same hunger.
Oh,
that
I absolutely do. I think him without football is like a fish without water.
Understood, but it's just automatic. Like, if you, in your life, whatever it may be, you're chasing your whole life to get that success, then you have that success six times, eight times over, whatever it may be, naturally, it's just not going to be the same. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't want it, That's not why I wouldn't want Bill Belichick, by the way, as a head coach. Not, oh, he's already won. He doesn't have the desire. That wouldn't be it. But I just think it's human nature to think that somebody who's already won wouldn't be as hungry the next time.
I just don't think it applies to him. I think that the psychology behind that from a human perspective is spot on. I think that it's natural.
Yeah.
Inclination of somewhat, even if you don't know that you're doing it and you're not willingly it, but
exhale
a little bit, take your foot off. I think he is one of those people that is very different and would completely shoot that theory to pieces.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Normally, Hoff, it would be his time to shine, but he is off today, so we have Pat Boyle filling in for him. An opportunity presents itself, Boyle. Don't screw it up. What do you got for us?
You got it, gentlemen. All right, Yankees, 87-63. We got 12 games left in the regular season. They have a three-game lead on the O's in the AL East. Yanks open up a three-game set tonight in Seattle, while Baltimore is home for three with the Giants. Ballface Live, Ballface Truth. The Yankees' three-game series against the Orioles this time next week will be meaningless.
I think it's a bold-faced truth.
That's a good question.
It's a great question, wow. Boyle. And it's something I've been thinking about the last couple of days here. Because,
yeah,
you know, we were looking at this series and said, oh, that could be a big series. Yanks are pulling away. The Orioles can't win. Now, again, it is, you know, as you mentioned, just getting started in Seattle, so there's still some time ahead of next week. But you're talking about a three-game disparity already. I do think it's going to be meaningless. Or, I don't want to cop out. I'm going to say it's a bold-faced truth. It's going to be a meaningless series.
That's a bold-faced lie. Yanks aren't hit, the Yankees, I mean, they're not going to go into the series up six games. I mean, come on. I mean, I know the Orioles are not playing well. They've dropped, I think it's 7 of 10, maybe even 8 of 11. Yankees have won some close games. I've appreciated that. I think it's going to harden them for the postseason. But the Yanks aren't hitting. And maybe that was a little foreshadow of the Red Sox where Judge started to get hot again. That would be really nice here. But, I just think that going out west for six games, I know we kind of take those A's for granted, but as the Met fan knows, you shouldn't really do that. I think
the Yanks would probably go 5-1 here.
Nah, I think 4-2 or 3. 5-1 would surprise me.
All right,
I'd be pumped,
but I don't
see 5-1. Let's
say 4-2, and what's Baltimore going to do with the next six?
I don't know who they have exactly. What do you say?
What's the schedule? You have Baltimore schedule there, Patty?
I do. They play the Giants for 3 and then the Tigers for 3 before the series with the Yanks.
2-4. Yeah,
Tigers hanging around. Tigers a game and a half out of the wild card.
Tigers have been one of the best teams in baseball since August.
I'm just going to say bold-faced lie. I think that series, now I don't think it's like a game up. I think the Yankees have multiple games, and provided they don't get swept, which I don't think they will, they're in good shape. But no, I do think the series means something.
And let me just clarify. When I say meaningless, I mean like if the Yankees are 5 games up, with, you know, obviously mathematically it's still going to mean something. I'm talking about, like, you know, it's realistically
I know what you're saying.
If the Yankees go into that series, even up 3 games, it's over. They just win 1 and that's it. End of story. Anyway, that's a great question. What do you got number 2, Patty?
All right, Jets are preparing to face the Patriots at MetLife on Thursday night, and we'll be hoping that the offense under Rodgers continues to click. The national audience will get their first look at Braylon Allen, Jets rookie running back who made history as the youngest player to score a touchdown since 1930. The 20-year-old, he's the youngest player in the NFL, caught one, then scored his second.
We know. What is this, an update?
On,
you get to the damn
good
question.
God.
Go ahead.
Jeez. So, yeah, and then Braylon Allen scored the game winner.
Yeah.
9 touches for 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Breece Hall had 21 touches for 114 yards.
That's 30 total. Yeah.
So, ball face live, ball face truth. Braylon Allen should continue to eat into Breece Hall's snap count in the Jets' offense.
I'm going to say that's a bold-faced truth here. Now, it's going to be a little matchup-driven. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but the Patriots' really, really good linebacker is out. He has a torn pectoral muscle, suffered last game, so that's going to be tough for them to stop the run. The Patriots are going to run the ball. So I don't know how much the Jets will be able to stop them, and therefore I don't know how much the Jets will possess the ball, which will obviously indicate how many snaps they take and then how they could divvy it up. But I love it. I mean, when the Jets were really good with Rex, they had two very different kind of runners, and I like the fact that that shows signs of happening here as well. Now, Breece isn't just a long-distance home run hitter. He can go inside a little bit, and he's got wiggle, but he can also hit you. But Braylon Allen is a 250-pound absolute muscle beast who nobody wants to get in front of. I think it will even itself out a little bit more as the year progresses, and I'm going to say that is going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's bold-faced truth as well. On the surface, you say, wow, no, Breece is supposed to be one of the best backs in the league. Maybe he can be one of the more explosive backs in the league. I mean, he's a terrific receiver. As you saw, obviously, he could be used as both a running back and just a flat-out receiver out of the backfield. So But the way Allen runs the football, you need both. I think in today's day and age, it's much better to have two backs as opposed to just rely heavily on an every down back. And with those two that they have, sure. I'm not saying I want to see less Brees, but I do want to see more Allen. So.
Well, the thing about the touchdown that Brees caught, he was lined up all the way to the far side. Yeah. So there's other ways to utilize him, and you get the matchup on the linebacker, and that's obviously synergy with Rodgers, knowing what to do. Just run the goal route. You got a guy who can burn by. So that's gonna grow as the year goes on, too. But it's a very interesting... Interesting start for the Jets offense. I think it's going to get better by the week. I really do. And I think it's going to be fairly diverse, you know, both in the air and on the ground.
All right. Patty, what's the last one?
That was Juwan Bentley, who you're talking about, BT, the Patriots linebacker.
Yep. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Last one. I'll keep this quick. So lost in the shuffle of a busy football Sunday was the Emmys on Sunday night.
Hmm.
John Oliver, you know, the British guy who was on The Daily Show. He's done his own show on HBO the last 10 years. He won an Emmy over Saturday Night Live for whatever category that was.
Hmm.
He, at the end of his speech, he starts thanking his family dog that recently died, and they start playing him off the stage. And he gets upset, and he says, F you, there you go, and then...
I didn't catch that, yeah.
Yeah, so Ballface Live, Ballface Truth, John Oliver was right to be mad that they played him off for... honoring his family dog that just died.
I don't think he was mad, but I am going to say that's also a Ballface Truth. He started going into... He didn't say right out of the gate his dog had died. Okay. He was saying he wanted to thank his dog. As he's 10 seconds into it, the music comes in. Yeah, and then he's like, well, and you could see it on his face. He's like, you idiots, I'm about to tell you that my dog died. And you're playing the music. It was very funny. I'm going to say that he's right to say that. Good for him, giving his pet, his beloved past pet, some credit there.
I'm a pet guy. I love animals. I do. But keep it moving, buddy. I mean, come on, let's not turn this. Let's not get weird here. So this was the Emmys, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Sal, you know, little known. Oh, I shouldn't say little known fact. Because I don't know that it is factual, but I would say that there's very few. Name another radio show with both hosts having Emmys, like this show.
Hmm.
I see that Emmy on Sundays with Sal.
Yeah, I got one.
I see that.
By the way, I'm up for another one again.
I got one in the trophy case as well.
I know you have one.
So we got...
Last year, I got beat by Bill Pito.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill from MSG?
Bill Pito won for that, what did you call it? The 30-second,
37, my God. Oh, fastest mittens. He does that well, but, I mean, what were you up for?
Baseball Night New York.
Ah, you should have won that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill does a great job.
Bill's good. I like Bill. Bill's good. And I like Wally. I like Allen. Yeah, you should have won that.
Well, I'm up again.
Against Billy again?
I can't take another defeat. I'm not even sure who's in it. This time I'm focused, though. I need to get another dub.
Yeah, you gotta go one or two.
But yeah, I don't know. I never thought about that.
Like, Evan doesn't have one. I mean, maybe he does.
Gio? I'm assuming Boomer has one, though.
Boomer's probably got something of everything. I don't know. Did Francesca get any along the way?
I know one trophy Boomer doesn't have. I'm just saying, he's just got a little bit of everything.
I saw a couple of Esiason jerseys out in Nashville.
Yeah,
I did. They were 70 years old as well, but yeah.
BT and Sal on the fail. Well, good job, Boyle.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.